This morning, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Hebrews. So if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1, and I want to read to the end of the chapter. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of eternity, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, being therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if we hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's just pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word today. Help us to see that you've called us from darkness to light, from being in a attitude of despondency and despair to peace and rest. And Lord, we as your children, even though we look at a world which is very dark and evil, yet we do not have to fear, and we can stand in the power of your might and your strength, and we need to remember that you are the same, as your word says, yesterday, today, and forever. Your word is true. Your promises will be fulfilled. Your prophecies will come true. And Lord, you know the beginning from the end, and you can see all that is happening, and we do not have to fear when we walk in you. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word this morning and help us to understand the importance of walking and living our lives in the power of your Spirit resting in you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We were looking in last week about what happens with unbelief. It's a great catastrophe, unbelief. We saw last week that the nation of Israel, because of their unbelief, even though God had provided miracle after miracle, delivered them time and time again, yet we saw the generation that came out of the land of Egypt and those that were 20 and older at the time of coming out died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Because they did not trust in the power and the word of God and kept looking back to Egypt and looking back to this world and longing for it instead of longing for Christ. The author of Hebrews comes now as he's writing this book to the early Hebrew Christians because the great temptation that was being placed before them, which is still a temptation for all Christians today, was to turn back to what they had been familiar with, and that was the law of Moses in Judaism. And to try and earn their way with God and not understanding the rest that had been given to them in Jesus Christ and that Jesus had paid it all and that we don't have to earn anything to gain our salvation. As he comes to this point in his letter to the Hebrew Christians, he begins to talk about the importance of resting in Christ. The day in which we live is a day where every one of us needs to learn how to do that. One of the things that was very despairing over the last 2 years was to see how many Christians and how many churches caved into fear in the face of an invisible virus and the lies that were presented surrounding it to manipulate and control people. And how that the whole intent was really one of the main intents of all of that campaign was to silence those who stood for truth and the Word of God. I've said before, the things that are happening in this world, it's a great spiritual battle going on right now. The forces of evil and darkness, Satan, inspiring men that are wicked, motivated by power and money, motivated really by lusts of their flesh, as you hear of different things that these people are involved in their lives, yet they want to rule the world because Satan wants to rule the world through them. But what should our attitude be? Well, I want us to take a look here. It says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There's a fear that you should possess, and it's the fear of not walking with God. We are not to fear the things of this world because Jesus came to set us free from fear. I was listening to a man this last week and he was bringing a message and he was talking about that one of the great things that people around the world today are really held in fear about is death. Because if you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't believe in God and really what's been being taught by these ungodly people for years in laying the groundwork for what they're attempting to do today was to destroy the fact that there exists a God, to destroy the fact that there is an eternal life, to destroy the fact that Jesus is real, to destroy the fact that you should believe in the principles of God's Word, but rather we should live for today and we should do everything, as it says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. but there's a fear of death. Because you see, if you don't know the reality of what's coming, God has placed within your heart a conscience that tells you when you do things wrong. That conscience reveals to you and gives you a moral compass that God gave to every person because He created everybody in His image as moral beings. Now the problem is you can grieve and quench your conscience so much that you no longer hear it, which a lot of people have done. But what happens is our consciences reveal to us that there's something more than just this life. And there's someone more than just the powers and authorities of this world or even Satan himself. And God has given every man that moral compass to reveal it. But the author says what people need to fear is not death, it's not wicked rulers of this world, but they need to fear not entering into Christ's rest. And how do you do that? How do you not enter into the rest of Jesus Christ that he's speaking of here? It says, "For unto us was the gospel preached," in verse 2, "as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." It's not enough to just hear the word of God. It's not enough to know that God exists, but you have to have faith in believing His word is true and what He says is the real reality. When we don't have faith and trusting in the word of God and believe that He is who He says He is, we stand condemned and there is no hope. He goes on to say, "For if we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." How long has God made this promise? How long has God made this provision? And how long has God prepared? Because he knew that you and I would rebel against him, and it's referred to, our rebellion is referred to as sin. And he said that every man would sin against him. He said that every man would be conceived in sin, as David said in his writings. David wrote, "I was conceived in sin." It wasn't that his mother was a prostitute, but David knew that the sinful nature of his parents became his sinful nature when he was born, because man inherits that sinful nature. So what do we do about it? God knew that that would be the case, and Paul tells us that before the foundations of the earth, he prepared a means by which you and I could be redeemed, and by which we could enter back into this rest with him. Now I want you to understand, what is this rest that he's speaking of? Well, if you go back and look at the book of Genesis, which a lot of churches don't want to do today, but you're not going to understand our need to enter into the rest, and you're not going to understand what the rest is until you go back to Genesis. The author of Hebrews is giving us an example from that book where he gives the example of God on the seventh day did rest from his works. Did God get tired so he had to stop? No. God was giving to us a model, a picture, so that we could understand what he means by entering into his rest. Now, when Adam sinned, what was the first thing that Adam did? And Adam and Eve, they hid, right? They hid from God, like they were going to be able to hide from God, the one who created all things. The scriptures later on in this chapter says that he knows all things, he sees all things, everything is revealed to him, nothing is covered. We're naked before the Lord. He knows our hearts, he knows our thoughts, he knows our intents. We can't fool him. But Adam and Eve, after they'd sinned, guess what? God had given them this moral compass, and it said, you've done something really bad. And what did they do? They tried to hide. As if they could hide from God. And when God came, he said, called out and said, where are you? He knew where they were. It was a rhetorical question for them to think about. Why are you hiding? You can't hide from me. And what was their response? Because we're naked. Now, up until this point, they've been walking with the Lord before they sinned. And they're no different condition then except for one thing. They now had sin in their heart. And they knew that God knew they had sin in their heart. God knew they'd rebelled. The Lord already asked them, he said, who told you you were naked? And then what did the Lord do? It says he went and he took two animals and he took slew them, and he took their coats and made a covering for Adam and Eve. I personally believe that probably the animals he took were lambs. And it was the first picture of what he was going to do for their souls, what he was doing for their bodies at that moment. Before the foundations of the world, he determined that Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, would go to the cross. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, determined that the Son should go to the cross, and he would take the sins of the whole world, even though man had not been created, but God knew he was going to give man a choice. He was going to give man the ability to choose, and when he gave it man and created him with that ability, he would choose wrong. But he wanted to make a means by which that fellowship could be restored and by which man could be set free. Now, why does the author of Hebrews talk about God resting? Because I want you to think about what people do who are not Christians. They attempt to somehow earn their salvation. Look at all the religions of the world. Every one of them is the same. They're based upon works. You have to do these things. You have to say so many prayers. You have to make so many pilgrimages. You have to offer so many sacrifices. You have to do all these various things. You have to pray to certain gods so many times. It's works. Can any of that ever save anyone? The answer is no. No matter how many prayers you offer, no matter how many sacrifices you make, no matter how many good deeds you do, you will never, ever pay for your sin. What does that put you in? It puts you in a situation, a hopeless situation. You know why the world is in the way it is today? Because there are people who, instead of acknowledging the hopelessness of their situation and that the only means by which they can come and rest is to come to Jesus Christ and come to God on His terms, they refuse to do it. And they want to come to God on their terms. And what it results in Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1. I just want to, if you just keep your finger in Hebrews 4 and turn back to Romans chapter 1. And I'd like to read what Paul says. Beginning at verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So, in other words, they know the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness, or they ignore it. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God hath showed it unto them." And this is what the author of Hebrews is saying. If you've heard about God and you've seen God, and I want to tell you something, some of the smartest people in the world are some of the greatest rebels, because they can see the reality of God's existence, but they want to deny it. And that's exactly what the author, what Paul is telling us in the book of Romans. And then he says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, scientists that want to teach evolution, and that is at the foundation of every false religious system in the world, is tied to evolution. Why? Because evolution denies God as creator and replaces that we just came into being. And we're going to evolve into something else. But if you look at what scientists do when they study, and we've been listening to some messages by Billy Crone, and he's been talking, as I mentioned last week, about CRISPR technology, where they do DNA, where they take different aspects of the DNA molecule, cut it out, and replace it with replacement molecules. And they think they're so clever. And these same people who are doing this deny the reality of God existing and deny a creator. And the majority of them that do it would be studying in this, would be evolutionary in their thought, and would have said that the DNA just came into being through evolution. The language that is encoded into our bodies that tells everything in our body what to do. That just came into being by chance. He's saying they're liars. They can see the reality and the existence in God as they look at these things. If you're a medical doctor, if you're honest with yourself, you should not be an unbeliever. Because every day you're seeing in the body amazing things. Yet many nurses and many doctors deny Jesus Christ. If you're somebody who's, say you're in the field of industry, and you look at how machines work, and look at how things function together, you should be amazed to see how much intelligence it put that machine together to get it to do things. For example, in the field of work that I do, that put windows and storefronts together, they've developed machines where you just put stock lengths of metal in, and the machine will take it, and you put the computer in, and it'll punch the holes, it'll cut it to length, it'll put it, and then you've got it where you can have it assemble the machine for you, put the screws in. It'll take doors. It'll take a door that's a blank door, and it'll route out all the hardware in the door, and it'll put it so that everything's in the right spot. Did that just happen by chance? No, the answer is no. It took a lot of engineering. It took a lot of intelligence. It took a lot of time to develop those machines. But the human body is even more amazing, because most of the things that you have in those machines, your body has in micro systems inside it. Do you know that you've got hydraulic systems in your cells? You've got all kinds of things in your cells that God created. But people will deny it, and people will deny Him. And the Apostle Paul says here, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." The author in the Psalms says, "A fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." That is a fool. And it doesn't matter if he's got an IQ of 170 or 180, and he's a genius. If he says in his heart, there's no God, he's a fool. Because everything around us reveals that God is there. So then why is our world right now in the situation it's in, where we're in this great spiritual battle, and the Word of God is trying to be suppressed, churches are being told they're really not important, Christians are being told, a president gave a message to the nation, and he basically said, if you believe in Christian principles out of this world, Word, and he named some of the principles that we as Christians believe in, you are an enemy. Why do you think in Canada there's pastors that are being put in jail? Why in Australia there are Christians that are being put in internment camps? It's because those that hate God know He exists, but have denied His power, denied His authority, and want to, if they figure if they can silence His Word and silence those who believe in Him, then somehow God will disappear. But professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. And their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 23, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." And that is what people are worshiping today. God's creation, not God. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is unnatural, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over into a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of all evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Is that a description of our world today? Yes, it is. And going back here to Hebrews, we need to understand the seriousness of what the author of Hebrews is saying. If you hear the Word of God and hear the Word of God preached, and you hear about Jesus Christ and the means of salvation that God established by which we no longer have to try and do everything in our power to somehow please God, to somehow earn salvation, to somehow be able to be forgiven for the things we've done wrong, if we don't understand that we have been told that we are to come into the rest of the Lord through Jesus Christ and that we are to no longer have to work for our salvation, but Jesus paid it all, then we should be filled with fear. Because we're beginning to head down that road. Because instead of walking by faith, you're walking by knowledge. And just knowing who God is isn't enough. Because that's where these people started. They started at the point of knowledge of God and understanding He existed and who He was, and they went down this spiral because they refused to walk by faith and trust Him and give their hearts to Him and honor Him and worship Him as God. But instead they said, I will be a God unto myself, as Adam said, and they begin the vortex spiral downward of rebellion and sin, which ultimately leads in not only physical death, but eternal death. So back in Hebrews, he says, for we spake in certain place of the seventh day of the wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. And so he's saying, why do you want to continue to go in this? If you look at the description that Paul gave in Romans of the life that these people have, isn't it a life filled with peace and joy and hope and rest? Or is it a life filled with anger, hatred, vile things? Why would you want that? And he's saying, I'm offering you rest. I'm offering you peace. I'm offering you joy. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Now, the author of Hebrews is making reference, could be making reference to the missionary Paul when he went out and would preach. And the first place that Paul would go when he went and preached in any city was to the synagogues, because he would preach to the Jewish people because they had the scriptures. They had a foundation that the Gentiles didn't have. And Jesus had said they were to take the gospel when he said the commission, Great Commission, was to go to Jerusalem and Judea, then Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem and Judea would be those that would be Jews that believed in God because they had this foundation. That's the first place you were to go. Then you would go to Samaria. Samaria was a mixed band. It was people that were mixed. They weren't completely Jewish. They established their own religious system. It was a false religious system. But they had tried to retain some of the things of Scripture, but it was false. And then from there to the world where they'd have no knowledge at all. And that's exactly what Paul would do. The first place he would go would be to the Jewish people. And what would he do? He would show them that Jesus was the Messiah, had come in fulfillment of the promises of God, just as the Scriptures and prophets had said. And his response was mixed. He would receive those that accepted Christ, believed in Christ, accepted by faith that Jesus was the Messiah, and they would walk as believers. But there were also those that did not accept Jesus. Why didn't they accept Jesus? They didn't believe by faith. They said Jesus couldn't be the Messiah. Even though the Scriptures all said that He was the Messiah, they said He couldn't be. And so they would speak against Paul and come against him. And this is exactly what the author is saying here in Hebrews. They didn't enter into this rest because of unbelief. Instead, they continued on in their own religious system. There's a world religious system today, and it's being created as a one world religion. Ultimately, it's going to be worshiping the Antichrist and with the false prophet and Satan, the unholy Trinity. But what is going to be amazing is that He will make you do all these things to worship Him. And if you don't do them, off with your head. The first being to take His mark. And you have to obey everything He says. Now, as He sets up this false kingdom, the people that are entering into it have no faith in God, and they have no faith in Christ. And they put their faith in this false system. So they'll have no peace and rest. Verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. A lot of people today have hardened their hearts to the truth of the gospel. Today is the day of salvation. I talked to you before. There's an easy believism that's come into the church in America today. That it's, I can do whatever I want to do as long as I pray a prayer, and so I'm good to go when I die, and go so I can go to heaven. However, that's not what the gospel is. It says that Jesus came to set us free from darkness and to bring us into light. We'll get into that later on in the book of Hebrews. It talks about the fact that we've been set free from our sin, and Paul writes to the Galatians, what bewitcheth you that you have believed another gospel? And he says, you came out of this life, and he lists all the wicked things that they had done when they weren't Christians. And now you have been saved, and if you're truly saved by faith in Christ, guess what? You've got the Spirit of God living in you. And then he lists all of the gifts and the power of the Spirit that should be evident in the life of the believer. And he's saying, why am I seeing a life like this when it should be one like this? It's only one of two things. Either you're walking in rebellion as a Christian and you need to be humbled, repenting, and turning back to Christ, or you're never saved in the first place. And really, if this is the hallmark of your life, it's probably the latter. And that's what the author of Hebrews is saying here. You think you may be saved because you have a knowledge of God, but if you don't have faith in Christ, if you don't believe in what He's done, if you don't believe in the power that He possesses to set you free from your sin so that you can walk in His strength and possess the gifts of His Spirit, then you'll find no rest. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So if you're truly a believer in Jesus Christ, there's an amazing thing. The Bible tells us what our life should be like as a believer, the things that we should do. And there's a lot of people that are religious that are trying to do all of those things, but not in the power of God, but in their own strength. And they become the ones who try to put a check off by all these things they do every day. Didn't swear today. Check. Now, we shouldn't swear. We're not to be profane, not only with our language, with our lives. But that should be a fruit of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer, not a work of an unbeliever who's trying to bite his tongue so he doesn't use foul language. or do things that he knows are offensive to God. You see the difference? One is resting in the finished work of Christ and empowered by His Spirit, and this is fruit in his life. The other is trying to put fruit on his life, but it won't stick because it's not real. And that's what he's saying here. You want to find rest. So I want to go back to where I started, and I kind of took a big circle and didn't probably do a really good job in explaining it. But we're living in an unrestful world. We're living in a world where you pick up the newspaper and you find out about all kinds of ungodly things happening. You're finding about people who are Christians who are being persecuted in nations they were never persecuted in before. You find about a world system that wants to come against God and deny He exists. Do we walk in fear? No. We walk in the rest that is found in Jesus Christ. And that is only found by faith in Him that His Word is true. Do we believe that Jesus has really forgiven our sins? Do we believe that Jesus is really going to rapture His church like He said He would to come and get His bride? Do we believe that Jesus really said that you and I will one day rule and reign with Him, and that this life right now is a preparation ground for eternity? How will we stand in the midst of trials today will determine what we're entrusted with for eternity. We need to learn to rest in Christ and not walk in fear, because fear should not control the true believer. And it should dictate, because we are not controlled by fear, but rather by faith, it should dictate how we live. Even when we're told you need to do things that we know are against what God's Word says. In closing, how do you think that the apostles stood against the Sanhedrin and the priests when they came and the priests brought them in and they said, "You will not preach this Jesus anymore. If you do," and then they threatened them even more. What did they say? They had to follow God, not man. And they didn't walk in fear. They walked by faith. That's the difference. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand this. And Lord, I pray that You would just speak to us through Your Word this morning and help us to walk as men and women of faith. Lord, if there be any here this morning that does not know You and has not received You by faith and does not have trusting You, Lord, I pray that they would. Because we cannot do anything to gain favor with You or men by works. But we only gain favor with You by faith. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The last hymn, I'm going to change the last hymn to Jesus.